You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Bye for the Geeks Pub. I'm Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
We got this show and a tech fan next week, and then we're off for a week, and then we'll be back after my New York adventure. Yay.
New York adventure sounds like a road movie.
Mm. Speaking of movies, we've got our season two finale today. We're going to talk about the 2002 original kind of Spider-Man movie against the Avengers from 2012. It's going to be fun. We'll do that in the second half of the show, but we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And you said something right before we started recording that we're at the point now where it's the big movies of the year come out.
Yeah.
Summer, the big summer blockbusters. And other than Wolverine and Deadpool, I honestly couldn't tell you one movie coming up, dude. Not one.
Well, I've just had a look through the list.
And, I did too. Are you looking at the one for IMDb calendar?
No, I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, but...
you were just mentioning the... I know Garfield and what was the other one?
Furiosa.
The
Mad Max prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually looked kind of good to me. It had that one girl from the chess movie in it and Chris Hemsworth. It looks good, but I have zero desire to go to the theater to see it.
Well, I think this is part of the problem. And I'm going to color this a little bit because, you know, we're getting old and cranky now, and so...
But we're the ones that have disposable income, too.
Yes, this is true. Yeah, because we can afford to take all our family, if we want to the movies. But
right, it's $100 minimum.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And I think, certainly in my mind, the problem now is that, you know, I very much have a thinking of, unless the movie's, like, I'm really excited for it, I'm thinking, oh, I'll just wait for it to come on streaming and watch it at home. And I suspect a lot of people like that. And, And I wonder if Furiosa is a bit of a harbinger for what we've seen the last couple of years, which is, you know, these movies are being budgeted in such a way that they have to make a lot of money to make a profit, you know. You know, if you've got a movie that costs $150-160 million to make, then you're looking at you need at least $500 million before you're even going to be close to breaking even with marketing costs and everything. And I'm not sure that for a lot of these movies that audience is there anymore. I think people don't go to the movies the way they go. So I think COVID has changed it.
Well, it's not just COVID. I think that the theaters themselves are a little schizophrenic. And I'll give you an example. A few months ago, I saw the first trailer for The Fall Guy. Now, The Fall Guy was a TV show back in the 80s.
Lee Majors did after...
He was a stuntman
$6 million
TV shows and movies, and he would solve crimes and stuff like that.
He was a bounty hunter. Him and his team used to go and collect bounties. It was actually quite a clever setup.
I remember watching it and liking it, but I couldn't tell you one thing about it.
No, because it was one of those, looked like many TV shows of that era, they were relatively forgettable. They were almost like an action sitcom in that, you know, they had a situation and then they would build stories around that. And the idea originally, they didn't really stick to this, was that because he was a stuntman and he knew how to do stunts, he would use the stunts to help bring in the bounties. And after a while, it kind of moved away from that and it just became, you know, them bringing the bounties in. But it wasn't, I was surprised when they did like a movie soft reboot of it because I don't think it's something that sticks in a lot of people's memories.
But that's okay because if it's a cool concept, then let's go for it, you know?
Well, yeah, but I think one of the issues with this movie, it's got Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt who work very well together in it.
Jason Momoa for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But this is, it's got, it's very, very loosely connected. He's a stuntman. He's not a bounty hunter in the movie.
No.
He's a stuntman who kind of falls into shenanigans with him and his on and off again girlfriend, who's the movie director.
Have you seen
it? I haven't seen it, but it does.
I have. It's not really about the director. It's a love story more than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
The previews, I was like, it looks good.
Yeah, it does look kind of fun.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things...
It came out in theaters like a month ago.
Yeah, and it...
And it's already on video. Know.
Yeah. And...
That's the problem.
One of... Furiosa was expected to do well. It didn't do well last week, and it was beaten by Garfield, which is saying something.
Yes.
Yeah. And those movies are, you know, they are quite well regarded, the Mad Max movies, and certainly Fury Road was where the Furiosa character came from was extremely well regarded.
Yeah, Fury Road was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm sure this new one's very good as well, but people aren't going to see it. And I you know, I do think, and the reason I talk about COVID is that COVID taught us that we could sit at home and watch stuff on TV and just be just as entertained. Coupled with the fact that there's an awful lot of stuff out there for people to watch, I think a lot of people just aren't bothering. And the ones who do want to see the movies are quite happy to wait until they come out to streaming. So I think the market is really soft. And at the same time, the movie theater experience has never been more expensive, you know.
And shittier, because so many times nowadays, I've been bitching about this since we started this show. The movie theater experience, the seats are nicer and all that, and the sound and blah, blah, blah. It's the other people that doesn't know how to behave in a theater. That's just like, ugh. And if you go into a packed theater to watch a movie, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And the people are like, well, look, we make these movies to see on big screens and with a crowd and it's a community, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not.
No.
You could say that to try to help the theaters sell more tickets and stuff. That's not what movies are about. Don't tell me The Godfather is any better in a theater than it is sitting at home watching it on my screen. It's not.
Well, it depends on your screen at home. But I think
everybody has a nice TV now, even poor people.
I think part of the problem is we've all seen it. These movie guys, when they watch a screening of a movie, they're in their own private theater.
Yep.
There's maybe 10 or 15 of them, and they're people who know how to behave, and they get that experience. You're absolutely right. To get that experience now, you need to have a nice big TV at home, turn down the lights, and then it's not dissimilar to what you used to get in those private theaters or in quiet theaters where people knew how to behave. But you're absolutely right. If it's packed, you'll have kids screaming, you'll have people on their phones, you'll have people messing around, having conversations, all this sort of thing.
And I paid $100.
It's not great at all.
I wanted to see the new Ghostbusters movie, and that was released to video almost immediately.
Yeah.
Frozen Empire. I still haven't watched it, but, you know, I can buy it and watch on YouTube right now. Godzilla versus Kong, The New Empire. That's already out on video.
Well, I mean, that was one of my other examples of a big movie that must have cost a fortune to make that really barely made a ripple when it came out. And now you can give that one a pass. It came out in, late March, early April, which is sometimes a difficult time of the year.
Yeah, why would you release a movie then?
Well, they do, but a big
movie like that.
Yeah, I know. But
to me, I would think that would be more like a Christmas movie or.
Well, the reason they release it then is because they're not as confident about it, and they only have a certain amount of room in the summer schedule for the stuff that's coming up.
So here's some of the ones coming up next week: Bad Boys, Ride or Die, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence. Why?
Yeah.
Why? This is the fourth one, maybe?
I quite enjoyed the third one. I actually went to the theater to watch that. So that's the one where Will Smith gets shot. Then they kind of go on a revenge trek in Cuba or Mexico or somewhere like that.
Yeah, where they drive down the village. I barely remember
right.
it. So.
Right, right. Now, again, you look at this on paper, right? This is a franchise that's proved bizarrely that it has some legs. They work very well together. It's directed by those two guys who did the Batgirl movie that didn't get pushed out, and who are also behind Miss Marvel. So these are guys who know what they're doing. It's probably going to be pretty good, but I don't think it's going to make a ripple.
They're doing and mentioned two failures.
Well, yeah, but the failures weren't their they didn't do the Marvels. They did Miss Marvel, the TV show.
That was good.
Yeah, and also as well, Batgirl was pulled out from under them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who knows if that would have been good.
Yeah, so you know, this is probably going to be a pretty good movie, but, you know, again, well, half of this list, typical Hollywood, is sequels.
Which, yeah, let's go down this list a little bit.
yeah.
Next week, Wild Eyed and Wicked, it's a horror movie. Okay, I'm not a big horror movie guy. If you're listening to this, you know, our classic 80s horror film reactions, I saw them all. I don't care for them.
Yeah, Marvel horror movies are having a bit of a renaissance at the moment.
They are.
And I think they have a dedicated audience. And those are probably one of the few ones where people will go to theaters to watch it. Because, you know, those are the sort of movies where you want to be in a theater full of horror fans.
Yep.
You know.
June 14th, Inside Out 2. Ugh. I don't know if I saw the first one.
You probably did. It's the one with the marbles. I mean, Inside Out was probably the last of the good Pixar movies.
Yeah, which we're going to get to in a minute.
But, you know, and there's some interesting ideas here. Look, this is going to do well because of the kids, because people will take their kids to see a movie.
We'll see.
For an afternoon during the summer. So it will probably do okay. But I don't think, yeah, we're going to talk about the factors as the hardcore Pixar fans are kind of down on Pixar at the moment. So,
yeah. Something called Firebrand. It's got Jude Law in it. I was like, oh, but I don't know anything about it. Treasure has Stephen Fry in it, so I'm immediately intrigued. I love Stephen Fry. His voice in the Harry Potter series is amazing. Nothing else really. That The Relentless Patriot. Ugh. It's a documentary, so maybe it'd be good. June 19th, Jesus. So. All you Christians out there, that's the date that your Messiah is coming back. I don't know if you knew that.
It's the second coming.
It's the second coming. I'm just going down. June 21st, The Exorcism, Thelma, What Remains. I mean, stuff that no one's ever heard of yet.
Well, I think this is part of the problem here, is that if you don't have people regularly going to theaters, you don't get to see the trailers, and so you don't know anything about these films.
No.
And nowadays, you know, it used to be there would be wall-to-wall marketing for particular films on TV, and they would be doing the promotion circuit and all of that. Not a lot. That doesn't happen as much now. And also, as well, the media you've got to transmit over to make an impact is much broader. And that makes things very difficult.
June 28th. This is a movie I actually do want to see. Horizon, An American Saga, Chapter 1. Returning to the Westerns. And it's Kevin Costner. I've seen the trailer.
It looks
amazing.
This got quite a big impact at the Cannes Film Festival recently. Yep.
And while he's doing this one, and then Chapter 2 is coming out in like August.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Costner is that, I mean, first of all, he appeared and produced one of the most famous Westerns of all time, even though it wasn't really a Western, which was Dances with Wolves.
Yep.
He's got track record in it. And not only that, he's been knocking it out of this park in these kind of Western-style TV shows for years.
Yep.
So this is a genre he's very, very comfortable in and good at. And he's
the producer and everything of this.
Exactly.
He's been trying to make this, he said, I watched an interview with him, for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's not just these two first parts. It's supposedly like five movies altogether.
Well, and, yeah, everything's a franchise now.
Well, but with Costner and in this genre, I actually trust him to deliver.
Yeah.
I think it's probably going to be as good as we hope it would be, which is great.
The question mark is how much has been spent to make it versus how much it makes in the box office, because you can have a deal for five movies, 10 movies, infinite universe, but you're only, you're only as good as your last box office. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the stir that was caused when Clint Eastwood did Unforgiven.
Yep.
20, 30 years ago, where basically people remembered the Westerns could be really good.
Yeah, well,
this might be the same sort of moment.
Someone posted, I don't remember where, you know, they don't know how to make Westerns in the modern era, and, you know, you have to go back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s to see the best Westerns, and everyone was posting stuff, and I finally posted Unforgiven.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh my God, I forgot about Unforgiven. Because they didn't think of it as a Western, and it's totally a Western. It's 100% a Western. And it's probably Clint Eastwood's greatest role.
I think so, yeah.
And he's like the king of the Westerns. Well, he was. Yeah. I think that's Kevin Costner now. Despicable Me comes out July 3rd.
Again, that's going to make money because of the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, those are, but you know, it's not going to be appearing in the Oscars next year.
Mm-mm. No, but you know, the kids will like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem I have with Despicable Me is that he's not particularly despicable anymore. He was funnier when he was really despicable.
Right.
Now he's like a sitcom character.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. They ruined it. Yep. Boneyard with Mel Gibson and 50 Cent. That's a B movie straight to video, I'm sure. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Long Legs is a horror film with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
As scary as it is, Nicolas Cage just, I don't know, he doesn't seem like a horror guy to me.
Well, he might do his... there's two Nicolas Cages, isn't it? There's serious Nicolas Cage and there's crazy Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
I would imagine this is going to be... Yeah, I'm going to imagine this will be crazy Nicolas Cage. You know, but as I say, horror is almost like its own subgenre. Well, it always has been.
There's a lot of horror films coming.
Yeah, but because they're trying to cash in on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, here's one. It's a comedy romance, which we don't get a lot of those anymore. Fly Me to the Moon with Scarlett Johansson and Kristen Tatum and Woody Harrelson. That could be good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen a really good. Twisters is coming out on July 19th. It's already getting bad reviews.
Yeah, well,
it's in a month and a half away, and people are like, ugh. Because the first one, people act like it's better than it is. I enjoyed the first Twister, and I've watched it a number of times. It's one of those movies that if you saw in the theater and you came outside, you're expecting storms. And, I mean, it really did a good job of bringing
it. I absolutely did. It was a special effect tour de force, and actually the setup was really, really clever mm-hmm. for the time. The problem with this one is this one looks exactly the same.
Yeah, they're just repeating it.
We've got a girl who is frightened of twisters but chases them, and then we've got a guy who helps her chase twisters, and there'll be lots of scenes of them driving near twisters in SUVs.
Yeah.
It's completely and utterly pointless.
Yes. Plus two of the actors that were in the original ones are dead. So.
Yep.
You know, and the two of the best actors.
But that's because they went too close to the Twister.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
July 26th is Deadpool and Wolverine. I think I think that's going to be the biggest movie of the year.
Yeah, and this is the one that probably will.
They already made $80 million in pre-ticket sales.
Yeah, well, I was also saying, this is the one where, this has everything going for it because it's an incredibly popular franchise with an incredibly popular actor, and bringing in the other incredibly popular actor for superhero movies. And also, as well, everyone knows this one's going to be different than a regular Marvel movie because of the way the Deadpool movies go.
Yeah.
This one's even if it's bad, it's going to do well.
Yep.
August
9th is Borderlands. Borderlands.
You see, I really want to see that.
I do too.
But
I
suspect it's going to sink without trace. I really do, because I don't think the video game franchise is. It's quite old now. I don't think it's as popular as it was. And
it depends on the marketing on this movie.
Well, yeah, but a lot of this stuff, as I was saying before, depends on the marketing. And I think they're not spending a lot of money on the marketing. They haven't got a lot of confidence in these movies.
No,
and I think that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I think if Deadpool and Wolverine does really, really well, I think it's going to excite some people to go back to the theaters. Like, that was really good. 2 weeks later, Borderlands comes out, and it looks like it's over the top.
Fun. Yeah, but I'll tell you, it does. But I'll tell you, the problem that Borderlands has got is a lot of people are going to look at it and go, "Oh yeah, it's a bit like that Fallout thing I just saw on TV for free." And I suspect there'll be a lot of people who go, "You know, that looks pretty good, but I'm going to wait for streaming on that."
Week after that, August 16th, Alien Romulus. Ugh, are they still making the Alien movies? Why nobody goes? The last two were complete duds.
Yeah. This is Aliens moving into that same thing the Predator franchise did, where they keep flogging the dead horse.
Yep.
And even though individually some of the movies are okay, that last Predator movie with the Indian girl was actually really good. Yeah. But again, nobody went to see it.
Well, because it came out on streaming is why. It was released directly to streaming.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize
it was at the height of COVID. It was going to be in the theaters, but they released it right. And I watched it like 3 or 4 months after it was released because I was like, yeah, I don't care, Predator. And then I watched it. And I was like, holy shit, this was really good. I was amazed at how good it was. I think it, other than the first Predator movie, I think it was the best one.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to be.
No. Horizon, you know. American Saga Chapter 2. Already talked about that. This is a movie I actually saw a documentary on this, and then I saw the trailer just like a week ago. My Penguin Friend. You think, oh, whatever. It's about a penguin in, I want to say New Zealand, who washes up at this guy's place, and he nurses it back to health, and it comes back every year.
Right.
And it's just a fun, family-oriented type of story. You know, it gets media coverage, and it's a really neat thing. August 23rd, The
Crow. People love penguins.
We love penguins. Yeah.
The Crow. We've talked about The Crow, and it's just like, why?
Well, exactly. The Forge, who knows what the hell that is. It doesn't have anybody of it that I can recognize, no names. That's the other thing. I'm looking at the names of the people in these movies. I don't recognize half of them. Now, maybe I will if I see them, but it seems like all the big names are not doing movies anymore. They're just Beetlejuice in September, and that's Beetlejuice. Because
why? You know, the original movie is pretty classic, really.
Yeah.
But again, why? So why make another one? You know, and also as well, it's so old.
Yes.
Yeah. It's 1988. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like the world is going, it's been counting down to when is it finally long enough to do a sequel to Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
You know full well, this is basically somebody said, you know what, Michael Keaton's, you know, has been on an upward track for a long time. He's a really great actor. Let's look through his back catalogue. What else can we do to extort the nostalgia factor? Oh, nobody's ever thought about doing Beetlejuice again. Yeah. Let's see if we can talk him into doing that.
Transformers 1 is coming out in September. Now, did you see the previews for this?
I did not.
So
this is animated.
It's animated, and I thought, ugh. But then I watched it. It's a prequel. It's when Megatron and Optimus were actually friends in a school or something, which, by the way, sounds stupid. But then I watched the trailer. I'm totally in. I want to watch that movie. It looks good. Chris Hemsworth's in it. Scarlett Johansson. I know people are sitting there thinking, ugh. But
is it the real Scarlett Johansson or is it a
fake? It's her. Jumping way ahead, we've got Joker in October, which I know it's a musical. I have zero interest. I really do. And that kind of hurts me because the first Joker is so good. And maybe this will be brilliant, but I just gotta. This is just gonna be a jerk off fest.
That's the problem. The problem is you worry. The first one was so original that actually you say, how can they possibly go back to that well and actually pull it off?
Yeah.
And so you know, we may be wrong. I'd be delighted to be wrong.
Me too.
And this don't movie get me wrong. To be amazing.
I never root. Yeah. For something to fail, I really don't.
Yeah.
I want things to be good.
The joy of Joker was it was such an original take on that character and. You know, and the way it finished, you kind of think, well, that was almost like a perfect movie. I don't want to see anymore.
Right.
I want it to stay as it is. And you know what? Sometimes I do wish Hollywood would take something from that. To be fair, there's quite a lot of original stuff in this list.
There's a lot, but most of them.
There's more than maybe I was expecting.
I guarantee you half of these are going directly to video. They're not going to hit the movie theaters.
That's always been the case, though, right. Hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jumping farther down, Bambi, The Reckoning. It's a horror thriller movie. I love that.
I like it. I mean, look, that you see, what I like about the horror genre is the fact that sometimes they can just...
Take the piss?
They can take the mickey in such a way that... you know, really, really works. I've been hearing very good things about the Child's Play TV show because it's meant to be very, very funny.
I think Mark Hamill does that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I like the one... I love the idea. I didn't watch it, but because I'm not big into horror movies. I love there was that one last year where Winnie the Pooh goes psycho. And I love the irreverence of that.
Yeah, make them.
You know, and
Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear, which we really loved. Uh-oh. And I really like the...
Hey, David. Hold on. Let me... Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if it's recording my side or not.
Okay. Well, I've got both sides.
I don't think it is. You've got both?
I've got both, yeah.
All right. Well, send me the whole thing, because...
Yeah. I love the... did you see the one where it turns out Santa is a homicidal maniac?
Yes.
And when the guys who try and ruin Christmas and he just murders them all. Again, I love that sort of thing, you know. So Bambi the Reckoning, I'm actually quite down for.
Hell yeah.
Though I don't know how with whose Bambi's going to hold the assault rifle, but I want to find out.
I want to find out too. I hope it's a chainsaw personally, but
yeah.
Venom the Lance Dance, who cares?
Well, you know, there's I really like the first one. I enjoyed Carnage less, so we'll see whether they can have a return to form with The Last Dance or not. But I guess that's the last one.
No, Red One is Dwayne Johnson, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons. I don't know anything about it, but it's Dwayne Johnson, so my hopes aren't very high. Because I think he jumped a shark a while ago now.
I think he does vary between doing movies that are actually pretty good and then movies that are absolutely terrible. And you never know which one you're going to get till you walk in the theater. I really quite enjoyed Black Adam.
I enjoyed it, but it came out when we knew that the whole DC was going away.
Yeah, so exactly.
I think it colored it bad for everybody.
It did, but I thought he actually did a reasonably good job in that movie.
Here's one that I'm on the fence about. Gladiator 2. Now you think, ugh. But it's got Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal in it.
Yeah, like, I know.
Ooh, I don't know.
This is another why. Gladiator is almost, it's one of those movies, you look back on it and it was virtually perfect. Yeah, apart from that whole, what's the name? What was his name? The actor, the British actor.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, who died halfway through and they kind of did bad CGI to finish the movie off. But apart from that, it was a great movie. And again, you look at that and you think that's a perfect self-contained story. You don't need to have Gladiator 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. Did you know they're coming out with a new Lord of the Rings movie?
I'd heard.
Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohan, December 13th. Same day as Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, I'm very, very conflicted about Lord of the Rings because I just feel like they're mining a way to try to exploit the last
Amazon
thing out
series
of it.
Was really good.
The Amazon series was good, but the Gollum movie was terrible. The Hobbit series
was
terrible.
Did they already come out with that Gollum movie?
I thought it already came out, I'm thinking of the video game. They did a Gollum video game, which basically the same as the movie, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
The problem is that, you know, without the work that was done in the original books, if you just take some of the notes and stuff like that and build something around it, you run the risk of making it just generic fantasy. And I don't want to see generic fantasy Lord of the Rings.
Don't call it Lord of the Rings. Call it something else.
Yeah, exactly. And I worry, you know, particularly after what they did to The Hobbit, which was which I loved as a child. It was a children's book, and it was pretty short, really. And to turn that into three long movies, with all sorts of extra stuff they put in that didn't need to be there. And it wasn't really The Hobbit at all. It was Lord of the Rings light, and it wasn't very good, you know.
Well,
so I have low expectations.
Speaking of the third movie, you, David, have to wait all the way to December 20th, and I know this is chopping at the bit for you, but Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is coming out December 20th. So,
you know what? I've got a lot of time for the Sonic movies. I really do. I think they're one of the few franchise movies where they don't take themselves too seriously, and they're concerned about bringing entertainment rather than necessarily slavishly bringing in all the movie tropes. I've enjoyed both of the previous Sonic movies, and I will go and see this.
So this is an open call for a new co-host that I need.
And no, I'm serious. I think the first two Sonic movies were vastly better than anybody had any expectation.
No,
to,
it was pretty good, expect. But I got about 20 minutes into the second one and turned it off because it was so bad.
All right, okay.
I was like, this is terrible. We got to wait all the way to February of next year for the next Marvel movie, and that's going to be Captain America: Brave New World. Harrison Ford's in it, of course. Liv Tyler, so they're bringing... This has got to have something to do with the Hulk, because we know Harrison Ford is Red Hulk.
Yeah, and Liv Tyler was...
Betty Banner.
Was Betty... Yeah, well, they never actually got married, did they? She was Betty the Hulk Betty squeeze. Ross. Betty Ross, that's right, yeah. And Harrison Ford is playing... He's taken over General Ross's role because... Yeah.
He died.
He died, yeah.
So I heard that they're doing some pretty massive reshoots, including the entire third act, which kind of worries me. Yeah. But maybe, because this came out, they wrote this at the height of Marvel when they were starting to just kind of produce garbage. So maybe someone in charge went, you know what, we're not doing this again. If we're going to do this movie, we need to fix it. And so, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Bridget Jones. Mm. Yeah, that hurts my soul.
those movies are very popular.
Okay.
Yeah. I you know, how much life angst can one girl suffer is what I always think about Bridget Jones.
But, and then so, there you go. Thunderbolts come out in May, a year from now. A little less than a year from now. Which, again, yeah, okay. If they don't get back on track, who knows?
Yeah, the problem with Thunderbolts is you do feel that was part of their of when they were losing their way, and perhaps for some of those, for that whole plan was starting to, it was the tail wagging the dog for some of the series.
I think it was.
And so that doesn't necessarily set things up well for those characters.
Well, there's a lot of changes at Disney lately.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
This one's from Daring Fireball, where I first saw it, but Pixar's laying off 175 employees, or 14% of their staff. It's kind of a sad thing for Pixar, because they could do no wrong for two decades. Really. Every single thing that Pixar released was amazing. And we knew it was going to be amazing because of the people that were there in charge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs owned it before they sold it to Disney. He set this thing up. Ed Catmull, he retired. Jordan Lester was driven out. These are people that just really knew how to make movies. And they would meticulously create these. Because just go through the first 20 Pixar films and find a bad movie.
Yeah.
Maybe Ants?
Ants wasn't a Pixar movie.
No, not Ants. What was the other one?
The Bug's Life. I still think A Bug's Life was very good.
Pretty good.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely true that those people at the top of Pixar, and also people who'd worked and directed some of those early movies, who then graduated the tops of Pixar, I think they did that similar sort of thing that Steve Jobs used to do at Apple, which wasn't necessarily so much about picking projects, but it was the ability to say no, or the ability to say this isn't working, we need to go away and rethink it.
Yes.
And I don't think they've had as much of that. And well, really,
I think Pixar just became another, you know, outlet for Disney.
Well, I think Pixar's been very much influenced by their successes, to the point that I find their last few movies to be almost, in my memory, interchangeable with each other. Yeah, because there's been an awful lot about so they had Soul, which was okay. Then they had
Soul did they was okay, do yeah
did they do Luck, or was that somebody else? I think that was somebody else. But they had obviously Inside Out, but then they had Elementals, which was, you know, on the face of it looked very similar to Inside Out. You know, it's anthropomorphized things that, you know, don't get along and everything like that. Did they do the one where they bring back half of their, they live in the magic world and they bring back half their father, the bottom half? I think they did.
that kind of, I don't even know the movie.
Well, that kind of sank without a trace. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. There's also an element of them very strongly being affected by this whole, you know, switch to streaming. And
I don't think so. I think their problem started way before streaming.
I think streaming kind of like all these things, is streaming and COVID has exacerbated. I think what it's done is expose a lot of problems in the movie industry. And they're suffering as a result of that, because basically it's accelerated things that were already happening. Yeah.
Coco came out, which was okay. It wasn't great.
I didn't watch Coco. Yeah, again, that was one of the ones where you saw the trailer and you thought, well, that just kind of just doesn't look that interesting.
Well, it's because they became just Disney animation, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but Pixar was supposed to be different.
One Pixar movie
every 2 to 3 years was how it should have been, and they're cranking out a movie every year.
I mean, I've got to be honest, even the one that everybody raves about, the one with the family live in the magic house.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about Bruno, that one.
Yeah.
I was kind of meh about that. Turning I watched red. It.
Okay. I mean, I never saw it.
I know my daughter. Onward is the one I'm talking about, where the kids bring back half their father.
But where's the Ratatouille's? You know, where's the Toy Story? The Good Dinosaur, terrible. I watched it. It was bad.
Yep.
Luca, never saw it. I know there's a new one coming, but Elemental, no one saw it.
I don't even know what Luca's about.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the thing. Coco, you know, all of these things are just starting to blend together. And maybe that's because I'm getting old and I'm not the target audience. But it used to be
Pixar.
Yeah, because it used to be the beautiful thing about Pixar movies used to be there was no target audience because everybody loved them. And that's not the case anymore.
No. They lost whatever it was that they had. And it was the people at the top, the creative people that knew how to make movies. They knew what people wanted. Speaking of what we wanted, we talked about, I think the last one, that we're a little worried, but as well as ambivalent, about the new Star Trek stuff coming. Well, now we've got some news. Starfleet Academy has cast Holly Hunter in the main role. Now, this is a series I was kind of excited for, except I just learned something, that Starfleet Academy is set during the time of Discovery, where it's, you know,
it's the 32nd century. Yeah. And it's Tilly's Starfleet Academy.
And I do not want Tilly at all. She is not a great actor.
They have not announced her as being in the show.
She does not need to be in the show.
I suspect this is going to be one of those shows where you're going to have people from, even in this article, they mentioned Doug Jones's Saru. This is going to be one of these ones where you have people from Discovery cameoing.
I don't mind Doug Jones as Saru. He's actually a pretty decent character. He's in fact, I think he's probably my favorite character of the Discovery crew.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the finale of Discovery yet, but I know that in the episodes leading up to the finale, there've been a couple of there was one scene in particular that in the last episode I watched, the one where they basically had the big face down with the Breen, and there was a scene in there at the beginning where it looked like Tilly was packing up to leave to go back to Starfleet Academy in the middle of this huge crisis. Mm-hmm. And she and the engineer had this whole conversation about, no, we need you here. We need you here. And she goes, oh, kind of okay. And I thought to myself, what is that scene doing there?
Yeah.
Now I know. It was basically, this is the lead in to how important Starfleet Academy is to the people who make Star Trek Discovery.
Well, this will be the first class of Starfleet Academy in, like, what, 100 years ever since?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how the show goes, because
Holly Hunter is an amazing actress.
She is, but she's not going to be the lead.
No, she is.
This is a young adult series. The leads will be the students. She will be there, but she will be like, she's not going to be in the middle of the show, I don't think. I think she's part of the cast.
Is the main role. Person.
I think they're saying that because she's Holly Hunter. I don't believe you would build a TV show where she's leading the cadets away every week or anything like that.
Well, I will say that I think I'm too behind in this last two episodes. This season of Discovery is the best.
Absolutely. Yeah, hands down. I would agree with you.
But it doesn't hold a candle to Strange New Worlds.
No, I'd agree with that as well. Yeah.
Isn't even half as good as Strange New Worlds. So yeah. I'm looking forward to Starfleet Academy. I don't know if I really like the idea of jumping so far in the future, but I know for a fact I didn't want to see a young Picard or some bullshit.
Yeah, but this is going to be a young adult series. So I think, to be fair, it's probably not aimed at us. It's going to be one very much that sort of, you know, who's sleeping with who likes who.
I don't think so.
You know, it's young adult, that's what it is. I think it's going to be like a school show. You know,
it could be good in the future. If they do Flash season one type of thing, it could be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as they don't do Flash season five.
Well, what I want to know is what the hell, I mean, they had all these other plans and what the hell's happened to them? What's happened to Section 31 with Michelle Yeoh?
That's coming out. I know why
she became an Oscar winner and all of a sudden her fee went up.
No, it wasn't that she already had a contract, but they're making that a movie. It's not going to be a series now. They're still doing that.
Yeah.
Mostly because she wants to do it, which is...
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
It has been. She looks so good for her age. She's our age, dude.
I know.
I want to know her diet, because holy shit. Or Marissa Tomei's diet, because wow. Last thing before we get to our finale of season two of the bracket. Atari purchased Intellivision. Bringing an end to the very first console war.
No, because this Atari is not that Atari, and this Intellivision is not that Intellivision.
No, it's not. But
it wasn't, and even back then, it wasn't really a console war because Mattel and Intellivision was third or fourth.
Second. No, they were second, but it wasn't close.
No. Yeah.
But I still find this kind of neat because there's still some nostalgia factor in both of those. And I will say this for Atari, the new owners, they've tried.
Yeah.
They are not just IP lawyers, you know, licensing out this crap to everyone and just making money off of, you know, t-shirts and stuff like that. They've actually released new games and new consoles. They haven't given up. They're trying to make a go of it. I give them credit for that.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, some of those new games, the kind of the remastered or revisited or whatever they call it, recharged, right. I've bought all of those and I've enjoyed most of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But what does Intellivision hold? The name.
Yeah.
I mean,
not much else.
Well, when I think of Intellivision from the 70s and early 80s, because that's what we're talking about when it comes to Intellivision and Atari at their height, all Intellivision had, honestly, was sports games. The sports games on television was better than they were on Atari. Other than that, they didn't have anything. They really didn't. ColecoVision did, because they had Donkey Kong, the real Donkey Kong. But
no, Intellivision had the Tron license.
Yeah, but nobody cared.
That's the only thing, apart from the sports, that's the only thing I remember at Intellivision, is that you could get Tron games. Yeah. I was big into Tron.
But I guarantee you that wasn't part of this deal.
No, probably not.
No, definitely not. Are you kidding?
The Intellivision console was very, very curious because it had
that disc.
Funny controllers. It had these disc controllers that kind of looked cool. I never had one, but I heard they were not very sensitive.
No.
I don't know. I mean, it's difficult for me to be objective about Intellivision because all I remember is it was just one of the other consoles. I've got to be honest. Sometimes you look back and you think, what a great time that was. There was so much trying going on.
There was.
And, you know, there were all these different systems and a lot of them were trying different things, you know, and that's all kind of, and now everything's much more monolithic.
I agree. But without Intellivision and Atari, we wouldn't be where we are, no question about it.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
So let's talk about wrapping up Season 2, and we're probably going to take a little bit of a break before we get into Season 3. It won't be on the next episode, probably the one after that. But we've got The Avengers from 2012 against Spider-Man from 2002. Now, of course, that's Tobey Maguire, his first outing as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Both of these movies are so good.
Yep.
And it's not an easy one to pick for me. I've seen Spider-Man more than I've seen Avengers, simply because it was out for a decade before that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I've been thinking about this. And, you know, we've praised Avengers to the heights, which is perfectly right. But, you know, I've gone back and thought very long and hard about the original Spider-Man movie. And I think, it's definitely equivalent to the Avengers. But when I go back, I remember coming out of the first Spider-Man. I remember exactly where I watched it. You know, I was with Leanne, and we actually went to one of those theaters where they had like an upgrade balcony where you got free concessions and a bar and stuff like that, the big seats and all of that, you know. So it was really kind of an experience for me. But I remember coming at the end of the credits rolling on Spider-Man and me just turning to say, that is how you make a superhero movie.
Yep.
You know, it was quite literal. I mean, bearing in mind, we'd already had we talked about Superman and that sort of thing, but we'd already had X-Men in 2000. This came out in 2002, and it was so much better.
It was.
It really was. I remember
coming out of Spider-Man thinking it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Except for one thing, and that was the villain. I thought he was kind of hokey.
And you didn't like the Green Goblin?
No, the costume was bad. His dialogue was shticky. I just never bought him as a serious threat to Spider-Man. I just didn't. And I thought, okay, he's a great actor, but he just played this over the top. Whereas if you look at Doc Ock in the second Spider-Man movie, he played that to perfection.
Don't get me wrong. If in this bracket we had Spider-Man versus Spider-Man 2, then I would give it to Spider-Man 2 in a heartbeat.
So that's where I come down to, because they're going against a movie that took, 5 years to get to?
Yeah.
The villain is Loki. I mean, Loki has proven he's so good in this movie. Every part of that Loki character.
Well, he is, except it's not, isn't it? Apart from, you know, he's the god of mischief. It's never really clear why he's doing what he's doing in this movie. I mean, it's like, if you stop and think about it, what is Loki's end game here? Because, he steals the Tesseract and he puts it in his staff, and we subsequently know that it's an Infinity Stone, right? And he uses it to open a portal to let another alien race come in and take over Earth. So what's in it for Loki?
Well, he's going to rule Earth. That's the point.
But he's going to have to rule those people who've just destroyed it for him.
Yeah.
And you kind of get the impression they're probably not going to be down for that. My difficulty was, as that movie went on, Loki's motivation for doing what he was doing became thinner and thinner for me. To the point, it was just like, you know, well, bearing in mind this man is the god of tricks, is meant to be really clever, this is a really dumb plan. And, you know, you don't understand what it's going to achieve. And then if you look at it in the wider context of Thanos, you know, moving things behind the scenes to try and get the Infinity Stones, and he's effectively given the Infinity Stones to somebody else. And he's going to let them rule the planet. What is the whole thing? Just kind of, you know, as very often happens when you've got a big complicated universe, is you go and look back at things that happened earlier and you go, well, I'm not really sure that quite fits. And there's a little bit of hand waving going on. And I that's always bothered me very slightly about the Avengers, even though I agree with you, it's virtually a perfect movie.
Yeah.
At least the motivation of the Green Goblin in Spider-Man is absolutely bang on aligned with the comics. He's crazy, and for reasons, he hates Spider-Man, and so therefore, all he's going to do is battle Spider-Man. And, you know, Spider-Man's going to be tested by that. And boy, is he tested in this first movie. I mean, he literally goes from suddenly discovering what he can do to having to save everything and everything that's important to him. And, you know, I think the narrative arc in Spider-Man just was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
See, I think the same thing of the Avengers.
Well, because I do too. Because it's a much
bigger cast. And they have some of the best lines in any superhero movie. Like Tony Stark walking in Stark Tower and Loki's in there and he's like, not the best plan. And he goes, we've got a Hulk. I mean,
I know. The stuff that worked best is things like, you know, when the Hulk smashes Loki around and goes puny god and things like that.
Well, but see, the comic book action movie parts are so much better in the Avengers than they are in Spider-Man.
Yeah, but then that's because it happened so much later.
Yeah, I mean, but we're not comparing when they happen. We're comparing the movie.
Well, I think we're trying to compare, you know, which is the better movie. And I don't think you should. On that basis, any movie that's later is always going to have best special effects, so it's going to be a better movie.
That's exactly why I'm saying that.
I don't find that fair. And actually, I don't find the. At no point during Spider-Man do you look at it and go, "Oh, that's fake." They made you feel.
Well, a little bit of the Green Goblin and that shiny green armor was pretty bad.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, it was a aesthetic choice, but I don't think it ever looked fake. I don't think it. You know,
it didn't look fake. It looked silly, and that's what killed it for me. But,
well, he just looked silly. Maybe. Yeah, but I think the
Green Goblin was supposed to be. Pretty powerful on his own.
I think the problem is that in the comics, the Green Goblin always looks silly because he's a goblin who's green, who's flying around.
If they would have done it like the Ultimate Spider-Man, it would have been way better, where he's basically a Hulk. That's way more of a threat to Spider-Man.
I agree, but you know, they went with the man with the suit role, and bearing in mind that Iron Man successfully pulled that off years later, I don't think that's necessarily a bad choice. It's just a choice.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. I love the Spider-Man movie. I just don't think if they're both on at the same time and I have to watch one, I'm watching the Avengers. I think it's just a better movie. Because as somebody who read comics growing up and collected them, I knew there could be a Spider-Man movie. I did not think they would ever be an Avengers movie. Because how do you bring in the Hulk without just some strong guy that's painted green like Lou Ferrigno? How do you bring in Thor in America in the 21st century where there's so many people that believe in invisible sky gods? How do you bring in Thor of Norse mythology? Because Norse mythology has never been as popular as Greek mythology. More people, up until the movies, knew more about Zeus and that than they did Odin and Thor. But, man, they did it. How do you bring an Iron Man in a suit of armor like he has?
Because they had the advantage that they had 5 movies to lead into the Avengers. Spider-Man did not have that. And I would say, actually...
But Spider-Man was way more popular. Let's back up for one second. When Spider-Man came out, everybody knew Spider-Man.
I agree.
When Marvel started Iron Man, nobody knew who Iron Man was. He was a C character. When they brought Thor out... He was an afterthought for comics. The Hulk was the most popular, but how do you do him? CGI? Yeah. His first 2 movies were bad, right?
Well, I think it shows they struggled to do him.
Exactly. How do you do Black Widow? Who's going to argue that Black Widow's not a fantastic character? Hmm? And Hawkeye, really a guy with a bow and arrow, but yet somehow it freaking works. They make it work. They took these characters who were all C-listers, including Captain America, I hate to tell people. He was not... It's a very difficult character to work on. It really is. Yeah. They took all these B and C list characters and made them the ultimate A list characters. Whereas Spider-Man had, you know, 3 decades of popularity. His underoos always sold well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He had multiple video games. He had a TV series. It's Spider-Man. Everybody loves Spider-Man. So he had that going into it, and they still knocked it out of the park. Don't get me wrong; they still made a fantastic movie, but they didn't. They didn't have the uphill climb that the Avengers had.
Well, I'm going to counter that slightly by saying I think there's a bit of rose-tinted glasses about that now. I think most people knew who Spider-Man was. I don't think a lot of people in the general consciousness knew his origin story, and I think that movie. Put so much of his origin story and, you know, the catchphrases and things into public consciousness. Everybody still today now, 22 years later, knows what you mean when you say with great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that was driven by the popularity of that movie. Yeah. And I think you are perhaps underestimating the cultural impact that the Spider-Man movie had versus the Avengers movie. I think the problem is in another 20 years, if depending on how the MCU does, people will remember the Avengers movie, but they won't remember it the way they remember Spider-Man. I think.
But I think and that that's the new Spider-Man is better than this Spider-Man. Yeah, and that's the what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember this Spider-Man movie. They're going to remember the ones that we just got. Which but every single one of them is better than this movie.
I would suggest to you that they could not have pulled off the Tom Holland Spider-Man without the fact that the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man had already done the origin story and everything, and everybody knew it. And so there was no need for them to even bother with it in the MCU, because they said, that's already dealt with. We're immediately going to start working to slot him into the Avengers.
And I would suggest that there wouldn't be the Tom Holland Spider-Man movie, and we'd still be on Andrew Garfield's awful movies, if it wasn't for the Avengers.
I disagree. I think we wouldn't. Well, yeah, you wouldn't have Tom Holland without the Avengers, because obviously it's built as part of the universe. But I would suggest we wouldn't even have the Avengers without the Spider-Man movie, and we certainly wouldn't have Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
I would agree.
We wouldn't have Tom Holland's Spider-Man, as successful as he is, without the Tobey Maguire movie. And I suspect as well, as great as the Tom Holland movies are for us comic book fans, that I think if you went to the person in the street, anybody, and you said you showed them a picture of Spider-Man actors, they would remember Tobey Maguire more than Tom Holland.
And I think maybe that would have been true 4 years ago, but not now.
I'm not. Well, even 4 years ago, that's still 16 years after Tobey Maguire's movie.
I asked Cole what he thought about the original Spider-Man movie, and he said it's cool. It's kind of like puppets, though. I don't know what he meant by that.
I don't know either.
So then that's it what sounds like I'm coming down on Avengers and you're coming down on Spider-Man. So you know what that means.
It does sound like that, yeah.
That we're going to have to do a coin flip.
Okay.
So I've already flipped the Google coin. I know what the answer is. So you have to give me heads or tails.
Okay. I'm going to say tails.
Spider-Man wins.
And there we go.
Yep. I don't disagree, because this is the hardest one we've had so far.
Yeah.
By far. Because I think Avengers is a perfect movie. You think Spider-Man's pretty much a perfect movie, even though the second one is better.
The second one's more perfect than the first one.
And here's the thing with the Avengers. The second Avengers is not better, but I would say that Infinity War and Endgame...
But neither of those movies are here. No. If they were on the list, it might be a different conversation.
It would be a different conversation. So that is our ultimate winner for season 2, Spider-Man. Eventually, I think in the next one, we're going to open this up a little bit. We're going to include some TV show type of comic book stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll still have some movies in it. So we'll see where we are in probably a month from now. But
I want to do a chick flicks bracket.
I agree. There you go.
Notebook already wins.
Yes. Course.
Everybody always chooses The Notebook.
Yes.
Well, I've never seen The Notebook.
I think I did, but it's Channing Tatum.
I don't think Channing Tatum was in The Notebook.
I think he was. Wasn't it Emily, what's her name?
No. You're thinking of the one where, the guy's in the wheelchair? It might be Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. I think it was.
Yeah, it was Rosalind. Yep. Yep. And Rachel McAdams
and Ryan Gosling.
Yep. I don't know if I've ever seen it. I love Rachel McAdams, though.
Yeah.
And James Garner.
She was really good in that.
I don't think I've seen it.
Those two Sherlock Holmes movies, which were incredibly great movies. The one done by the British director. See, this is the problem with getting old. You can't remember anybody's names. Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
Those are terrible movies.
I love those movies. They were so fun.
With Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, those are awful. Are you kidding me?
No.
Those are some of the worst movies ever made.
No.
Just terrible. They were
so much fun.
Oh, they're just awful. Just awful movies. Mm. Terrible acting. And
Now it's time for me to call up for a new co-host.
Awful English accent. I'm not even English, and I know his accent was terrible in that movie.
That's the point. And what's the point?
I know, but...
I don't know if you've noticed that even when Guy Ritchie's accent sounds false, but when Guy Ritchie employs English actors in his movies, they sound fake.
That is true. That is a weird thing, but you're absolutely right. But here's a problem that I have with those movies, that they became popular at the same time Sherlock was out. And Sherlock is
Oh, the, trust me, yeah. I would not choose the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movies over the modernized, updated Sherlock TV series.
I kind of want another series, but it's not ever going to happen.
It's never going to happen. They're too famous now.
They're too famous. You know?
And also, they've
the last been too long. Was kind of bad.
Yeah, but it's been too long as well.
Yes.
They've kind of aged out of the roles now.
They could still do a movie on it, though.
Yeah, maybe.
If they did a Sherlock movie, a big blockbuster movie, where they finally wrap up all the stuff, or with start what? A new adventure.
With Benedict and Freeman.
The guy who did Martin Moriarty. Freeman. Oh, he was so good.
Yeah, but he's dead.
He's not dead.
Moriarty's dead in the universe.
You think so, but is he?
Yeah. Well, they never did
Sherlock
explain.
Sherlock was dead at the end of season two.
They never did explain how he survived that fall.
Yes, they did.
No, they did. Well, they explained it in a way that didn't make any sense, because the whole point was every explanation that was given was meant to make you think that's not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I remember that now.
Yeah.
Well, anyways,
good stuff.
We'll be back in 1 week with Tech Fan, and then we'll be back 2 weeks later with this show. We love it if you sent us feed. Oh, we got an email though. We should probably read that from Guy.
We
Searle.
Did get an email.
Yeah, Guy, you want to read it?
Yeah. Let me read it. I can actually see the notes for this one.
Yeah,
We need to find a new notes platform.
Yeah.
He says, from Guy Searle, I disagree with you both on Mystery Men. That is a brilliant movie. I think we said that. With so many memorable bits as compared to Wanted, which was pretty much just had bullet bending. The scene at the barbecue where they're having a superhero tryouts with the PMS Avenger and the Waffler with his own theme song is just so funny. And there's all kinds of little bits like that scattered throughout the movie. I also thought that the third act was okay. Not the greatest, but it certainly tied up all the loose ends.
Yeah, but the third act of Wanted was better.
Well, that's what we decided. Yeah. But, you know, Guy seems to think that we were crapping all over Mystery Men. Oh,
I loved it. I actually watched it again in preparation of it going against Wanted. And I didn't watch Wanted again. I love Mystery Men. I think it's great.
I wouldn't disagree with any of the points that
I agree.
That Guy has made about the Mystery Men movie here.
As good as Wanted.
Just wasn't, in our view. And you know what, Guy? That's fine, because all of this is just... It's hand-waving opinion anyway. It doesn't matter. Yeah, and so we know that in Guy's bracket, Mystery Men would have gone on.
Yeah, they would have beat Avengers.
And, But yeah, don't get us wrong, Guy. We are big, big fans of Mystery Men.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, David, send me the audio files, because if you could send them separate, that'd be awesome if you have them, because, I screwed up on my end. I pushed the wrong button, so.
No problem.
I will see you in a week, sir.
See you then.